Bible reading today is Ephesians 5, verses 8 to 20. It's from, I'm going to read from the Message translation. You groped your way through that murk once, but no longer. You're out in the open now. The bright light of Christ makes your way plain. So no more stumbling around. Get on with it. The good, the right, the true. These are the actions appropriate for daylight hours. Figure out what will please Christ and then do it. Don't waste your time on useless work, mere busy work, the barren pursuits of darkness. Expose these things for the sham they are. It's a scandal when people waste their lives on things that they must do in the darkness where no one will see. Rip the cover off those frauds and see how attractive they look in the light of Christ. Wake up from your sleep. Climb out of your coffins. Christ will show you the light. So watch your step. Use your head. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. Don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the Master wants. Don't drink too much wine. That cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God, huge draughts of Him. Sing hymns instead of drinking songs. Sing songs from your heart to Christ. Sing praises over everything. Any excuse for a song to God the Father in the name of our Master, Jesus Christ.
I have promised the church leadership team that I won't take any of my clothes off this morning. So, in case you were concerned, there is no need to panic. And if you do not understand that, then I can only apologise. Paul writes, "Live as children of light." And those of us who have been looking together at this letter to the church in Ephesus over the last few months will recall the big picture here, the doctrine that Paul has been teaching. Jesus came to save us from our sins, to make a way for us to be restored in our relationship with God, for us to live in the way we were created to live. Last week, we thought a bit about what that means for us to live, how we need to take off the old sinful behaviours, the things that characterise us in our sin, the old way of life that leads to death, and instead to clothe ourselves with the things of heaven, to follow Jesus' example and to walk in the way of love. And in our passage today, Paul uses three metaphors to help us understand how we live in the way of love. It helps if I turn my clicker on. There we go. He uses three metaphors. He talks of light and darkness, of wisdom and folly, of drunkenness and the Spirit. He is continuing to contrast the old way of doing things, the way of the world, those who don't know Jesus, with the new way, the way of God's kingdom, of God's children, of those who have committed themselves to following him. And the Bible makes it abundantly clear that moving from the old way to the new, from darkness to light, from wisdom to folly, is something that Jesus achieved for us by his death and resurrection. It is a gift from God that we do not deserve and cannot earn. That it is all of him and by his grace. And now, since Jesus has done that for us, Since he has made a way for us to be adopted into the family of God, we are called to live as children of the light, to respond to his gift in gratitude by living for his glory rather than according to our own desires. Live as children of light. And so Paul gives us these three metaphors of light and wisdom and being filled with the Spirit. And I want to give you another metaphor that helps me tie it all together. And if it doesn't help you, you can ignore it and forget about it when I've finished. I wonder how many times during the night you have to get out of bed. I'm no longer in the prime of my youth. My bladder is not what it once was. And so trips to and from the bathroom during the night are becoming a little more frequent. And this ends up with me all too often having very bruised shins. I get up in the dark, I can see very little. I don't have my glasses on, which makes it worse. And if I were to have one too many glasses of whiskey, that would be even worse. And so more often than I care to admit, I end up banging my shins on the sharp corners of our bed. And the real irony is that I don't put the light on, because if I put the light on, that will wake Vicky up, and I don't want to wake Vicky up. And so I don't put the light on, but I clatter into the bed, scream out, and she wakes up anyway. In order to navigate my way around our bedroom in the dark, I need my wits about me. Filling myself with alcohol or drugs or anything that might cloud my mind and my judgment will not help me successfully navigate my way back into bed. And in verse 18 of Ephesians 5, this is what Paul's talking about, not me getting around my bedroom. He's talking about what we fill ourselves with and what impact that has on the way we live. He is not suggesting that alcohol in and of itself is bad. Wine was far safer and far more commonly drank than water in his day. Rather, he wants us to think about how what we take in influences our actions. Drinking to the point of drunkenness is a problem because it can lead to us behaving in a way that is not honoring to God. But the problem for us may go far beyond drinking. It is possible that the things we watch on the television, the books, magazines, or articles we read, the games we play, the people we follow on social media, it is possible that as we take these things in, they might just impact the way in which we treat one another. They begin to shape what we believe is normal or right and wrong. We do need to be careful about the messages from the world with which we fill ourselves and mindful of the influence that that might have upon us. Because what we take in, what we fill ourselves with, shapes us. The alternative to filling ourselves with so much alcohol that we allow it to take control of ourselves is to fill ourselves, Paul says, with the Holy Spirit. Not so that we can have control for ourselves, you'll notice. It's not about being in control myself. It's about giving control of myself over to the Lord. We put God in the driving seat. We live according to the guidance of the Spirit. We let the Holy Spirit of God shape our behavior. And then the fruit of the Spirit filling us is there for us all to see. Paul talks about it. It comes out in worship and in praise and thanks. It leads us to encourage one another with psalms and hymns and songs. The filling of the Spirit spills over from us in abundance to others, infecting them with the Spirit of God too. The alternative, Paul says, when we fill ourselves with ungodly things, he says drunkenness leads to debauchery. When we are full of the ways of the world, the impact that we have on others will not be for the good. It is genuinely worth doing a little self-audit from time to time. Sitting down and asking yourself, how much time today did I spend at work, with the family, reading a book, seeing friends, watching TV, reading my Bible, in prayer? None of these things are necessarily bad. It's not that I'm recommending you throw away your television. There's a song there somewhere. But if we are consistently spending more time filling ourselves with TV shows full of morally dubious behavior than we are filling ourselves with the things of God, then maybe our priorities are a little out of whack. If we are consistently filling ourselves with the things of the world rather than the things of God, it is those that will shape us. I wonder what you are full of. Live, Paul says, as children of light. So aside from making sure that I don't get outrageously drunk before I go to bed, there are other things that I could do to make it less likely that I will bang my shins or stub my toe. The wise thing for me to do is to put my glasses on. I'm pretty blind without my glasses. I've been wearing them for as long as I can remember. And without them, anything beyond the end of my nose becomes a blur. Trying to see what is going on at shin height in a dark room is hard with my glasses on. It is impossible without them. It is extremely foolish for me not to put my glasses on and then start wandering around the house at night. But unfortunately, that doesn't always stop me. Sometimes I think, I know the way. I've done this before. Brucians. Ephesians 5 urges us not to be unwise, but to live as the wise, to understand what God's will is. You know, Proverbs repeatedly tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Our passage last week encouraged us to find out what pleases the Lord, this week to understand him. Psalm 14 tells us that a characteristic of foolishness is to deny the existence of God. James 3:17 says true wisdom, all true wisdom comes from heaven. James 1:5, that if we lack wisdom, we need only ask God for it. Wisdom, living as wise people, comes from knowing God. There is no alternative. It springs from our relationship with him, a relationship that is fed and fostered by Scripture, the written word of God. Get to know your Bible. Get to know God. Be wise. And Paul says we exercise our wisdom by making the most of every opportunity. Paul talks about the wise use of time. We need to be wise with our time, with what we do, with where we put our energy. And maybe this comes back a little to what I was just saying about how much time we spend filling ourselves with the things of God compared to the things of the world. How much time we spend on things that will enable us and others to flourish compared to how much time we spend on things that will drag us down. How much of your energy goes into things that build you and others up in your relationship with God? To walk in wisdom, to live as the wise, means making the best of each day that God has given us. Making the best of each opportunity he provides for us to shine. Live as children of light. Now, if my main concern in the middle of the night was how likely I am to make it to the toilet and back uninjured, I could turn on the light. There is a light switch just above my head. I could put it on, and that would be fine. put my glasses on, I'd be all right. I imagine, though, that if I did that every time I got up, there would be consequences in my relationship with my wife. In fact, putting the light on would be the most sensible way of navigating, of moving forwards without damaging myself. And this idea of light and darkness is the first and maybe most important of Paul's metaphors here of how we live as children of God. It's a major metaphor throughout Scripture, particularly for John, in both John's Gospel and in his letters. This idea of light and darkness is important. But it's also one that Jesus used, and it's one that comes up in Paul. And I want us to think a bit about what light is and what it does. And I've got these three headings: seeing the light, seeing by the light, being in the light. Light is something that we see, isn't it? Or at least the source of light. If I say light is something that we see, I'll end up in a conversation after my sermon on physics with some people that I will not understand. On a clear day, you can go outside if you wanted to and look at the sun. You can stare directly into a light bulb or a lamp. I do not recommend you do any of these things, but you could look at the source of light. Light, in that sense, can be seen. And this is the problem with me turning on a light in the middle of the night, because Vicky doesn't really want to see the light at 2 o'clock in the morning. She is happy in darkness and dreams. The Bible tells us that God is light. John 1 talks about Jesus being the true light that gives light to everyone. Of Jesus, the light coming into a world of darkness and not being overcome by it. Today's passage talks about goodness and righteousness and truth. Being gifts of God, every good gift comes from God. And when I read this letter to the Ephesians written by Paul, I cannot help but think that as he writes of darkness and light, he is recalling his own experience on the road to Damascus, when Jesus came to him in a blinding light and turned his life around. God is light. We are adopted into his family and called to live as children of light. The second aspect of light is that it enables us to see. We see by the light. Light illuminates. The only reason I can see any of you is because of the light in this room. And it's the illumination of light that I really need on my midnight trips around the house. Paul says that deeds of darkness should be exposed, should be brought into the light. If we harbor sin within us, if there are dark places within us that we refuse to let God into, that we refuse to let the light into, if there are things that we know are wrong that we do and think and say, but we cling on to them because they are comforting and comfortable, because we fear what might happen if they are exposed, that darkness will eventually overcome us. We are too often tempted to keep hold of some of the behaviors we know are not godly, habits that have become easy. We know we should take them off, but it is easier for us not to. We want to keep on our old dirty socks rather than clothing ourselves with something new. But it is worth remembering that darkness is not really a thing. That darkness is not really a thing on its own. Darkness is merely the absence of light. As soon as light is introduced, the darkness disappears. Darkness cannot exist where there is light. And so we need to open the shutters in our lives and let the light of God illuminate the dark places to cleanse and heal and sanitize, that we might live as children of light. And if the need for illumination is true of our inner beings, to get rid of the darkness that is sometimes within us, it is also true of our relationships with one another. There is something here about truth, about the danger of secrets and secret sins, about how gossip and deceit can fester and destroy. A characteristic of our life together as a church should be openness and honesty and truth. And do hear me right here. Some people use openness as an excuse to say things which are hurtful and rude and harmful. I'm just being honest. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about graciously sharing with one another in our pain, in our sin, in our regrets. I'm talking about forgiving and seeking forgiveness, about talking and opening up about our doubts and disagreements and our struggles so that they do not grow in a way that will damage our relationships with one another and with God. We are to live as children of light, and that means truth and integrity and honesty. Light. We can see the light. We can see by the light. And the light allows us to be seen. We can be the light. We can reflect the light of God. In last week's passage, we were challenged to imitate God. And if God is light, that means that we should be shining too. As 1 John 5 says, God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. I love the passage in Philippians 2, which speaks about how we should live and how we should act towards one another. And in verse 15 of Philippians 2, one version says that we should shine like the stars in the sky. Sticks with me. Jesus himself talked about his followers being like a city on a hill or a lamp on a stand, shining, giving light to the world, that we, the children of God, reflecting his glory, bearing his image, representing him to creation, can shine, can be like him. We can show our friends and neighbors and family members and colleagues and acquaintances and those that we've just bumped into at the bus stop, we can show them what God is like. In us, they see the reflection of the God who is light. We are called to live as children of light, to walk in the way of love, loving God, loving others. It means showing the fruit of the Spirit, being kind and compassionate, forgiving, working for the good of others, exercising patience and truthfulness and peace. This is how we show the world what God is like. We make our lives a little like his. We make our church a little like the kingdom of heaven. And as we live as children of light, we then, when we turn to people and say, I want to tell you some good news, they can see from our lives that it is good. If we walk around looking miserable all day and then go and say, I've got some good news to tell you, it's about a guy called Jesus, I think, oh, I'm not sure I want that sort of good news, thanks. Just seems to make you miserable. We need to shine. And the only way for us to do this, the only way for us to reflect the light of God into the world, is to focus our hearts and minds on him first. It's like a mirror reflecting the sunlight. If you've got a dark room in your house and a little window, you can put a mirror on the wall opposite it, can't you? And it disperses the light throughout the room and it brings much more light into the room. But if you turn that mirror around and make it face the wall, it's not going to reflect anything. For us to reflect the light of God, we need to turn to face Him. We need to focus ourselves, our hearts and mind on Him. Go back to my terrible metaphor. To walk around my house at night, I need to be of sound mind. I need to be wise enough to put my glasses on. And ideally, if I wasn't worried about my other relationships, I should turn the light on. To live as children of light, we need to be filled with the empowering Spirit of God. We need to be wise with the wisdom that comes from knowing Him and His will. And we need to be reflecting His light to the world. I'm going to close with some words of Jesus. And then I've written here, I have a question for you. I think it's probably going to be about six questions, so I'm going to ask in rapid succession. I'm going to close with some words from Jesus and a question. Jesus said, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." You have heard the words of the Lord. You are called to live as children of light. What do you need to do to put that into practice? Do you need to change what you are filling yourself with? Do you need to adjust what goes in, how much of your time you spend in various ways? Do you need to seek God so that you can be wise to know what His will is? Do you need to do a better job of reflecting the light of God to the world around you? Show Him to the world and to speak of Him and His good news. It is time for us to live as children of light. Let me pray. Father God, I praise and thank You that You sent Christ Jesus into the world to shine, to show us what You are like, to bring Your light into the dark places, to bring goodness and righteousness and truth, to forgive, to heal, to save. And I pray that today, right now, You would fill us with Your Holy Spirit to overflowing, that You would grant us the wisdom that only comes from You, that we might shine like the stars in the sky. For Your glory. Amen.